I probably don't need to do that. Okay, are you guys ready?
I'm so ready. Should I move us in?
Yes.
Crossover episode.
Hello, and
definitely
welcome.
Thought that I misheard you, but no.
Nope. He said, should I move us in? Hello, and welcome to another episode of Here's What I Was Thinking About While You Were Talking.
While you were talking.
While you were talking.
Wow, Brian. The show where we talk.
I've never had to do that before.
What we now were you know the struggle.
About. And we talk over each other. And then we say what we were thinking about while the other two were talking. My name is Erin. And with me in their home studios are my two delightful co-hosts, Sabrina and Brian.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Brian.
Love how we're mixing it up this week. I'm getting energized from doing this intro.
Wow.
Yes.
That is cool.
Yeah, it's so much fun. We decided to mix it up a little bit. And I believe, Brian, you're going first today. Is that correct?
That sounds correct to me based on looking at the agenda and seeing that it's correct.
Well, I like for people to think that we're a little more spontaneous than having an agenda, but we do have an agenda because we're organized.
We're very organized.
I haven't looked at it in at least a year.
Great. See, one of us is spontaneous. Okay, let's hear it, Brian.
All right. So you may or may not remember that the theme of today's episode is pasta.
Oh, no.
You totally forgot. Anyway.
I forgot.
I had a vague memory of a theme and I couldn't be bothered to go grasp at it.
So the theme of today's episode is not pasta, but to find my topic, I Googled pasta and just saw what came up. And I found a nice little story that I thought was interesting and I thought we would all like.
Cool.
This is an MLB.com story.
Major League Baseball?
MajorLeagueBaseball.com, written by Matt Monaghan. And it's about Ping Bodhi, who was a Major League Baseball player back in the 20s, around the same time as Babe Ruth. And this says, perhaps Bodhi's biggest and most memorable contribution to baseball history happened during his four-season tenure with the Yankees. It didn't come at the plate or on the field or in the clubhouse, although it actually kind of did come at the plate. Wink, wink, wink. Editors plate. Out there. Instead, it came with his head buried in pasta.
What?
The 5'8", 195-pound Bodhi was a voracious eater.
Oh, boy. A big boy.
Yeah. So, at one point, so he was known for being a big eater.
Mm-hmm.
And then, during one of their training camps, spring training, one of the Yankees owners got word of another voracious eater titled...
Babe Ruth.
Who'd been dubbed the world's greatest eater. And that
Great Gambino.
World's
Bambino.
Greatest eater lived in the Jacksonville Zoo and was named Percy the Ostrich.
Oh my God.
And so,
plot twist.
Yankees co-owner Cap Houston saw a marketing opportunity for his team and arranged a bird versus man eating contest.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wait, a pasta? Can birds eat pasta?
Apparently, yeah. So the showdown was set up like a boxing match with a bell, a ring, and a plate of pasta for each round.
Poor ostrich.
And it was plates of spaghetti.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They quote an article from The Time by sports writer W.O. McGeehan that says, as the combatants struggled with the platters, the cheering of the spectators shook the pavilion. There were times when it was all that the police could do to keep the crowd from tearing through the ropes into the ring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a spectacle.
This is intense.
The first few rounds were close. Apparently, okay. At one point, Bodhi tossed his fork into the crowd and just... started eating with his hands.
Yeah, why was he
that like a strategy?
Just he's a showman, I guess. What?
Was it speed eating or was it just quantity?
It was quantity, I think. Because although I think the rounds were, the rounds might have been timed, but it was like, yeah, here's a plate of spaghetti for each of you. Eat it all. And then that's the end of the round. And then we'll start a new round with a new plate. And then just keep going until someone can't.
Okay. Do you think it was like, so in the first, say the first round was like 2 minutes, right? And then if like the bird, the ostrich, what was his name? Perseus?
Percy,
excuse me. Well, his real name was Perseus on a birth certificate.
Short for Perseus,
Do you think like if he got done with it early that they'd give him a second plate and then he was like a plate ahead? You know what I'm saying?
No, I think you'd have to wait.
Him?
No, you wouldn't. I think they had a, I don't think like you would, I don't think you'd get two while the other person only had one. You'd each get one. And then when you're both done with one, you each get the second one. That's what it
sounds
like.
They're on the same pace. Okay. Just want to clear that up for my mental images.
Yeah. Then it says, so then it says here, quote, the ostrich started to struggle at the end of round two, but came back full force in round three, even eating his handler's pocket watch.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say even eating his hand, but he's a bird.
Pocket watch.
It could eat in someone else's hand.
Jesus Christ.
It just seems problematic.
I just feel like it's, I think it's like animal abuse, not to be annoying, but.
Yeah, I mean.
Because what year was it?
It was 1919.
Yeah, animal abuse was rampant.
How many?
Just like, you know, there are animals that just won't stop eating until you take the food away.
Yeah.
So like if you just give them a bunch of pasta, that's not good.
Okay, keep going. But the ostrich better
They're not going to like tap out. They're not going to be like, oh, I feel sick. I'm going to tap out, right?
They will puke though, like monumental amounts.
There's more to the story, I guess.
Honestly, I feel like some of this might not be true. And it's just like it's been embellished over time as legend because it says. So here, let's just guess how many plates of spaghetti they ate.
Seven. No, more than that. 12.
I was going to guess 17.
Okay. Aaron, you're very close. So, Bodhi, this is the man, finished plate 11 before Percy could even get started. I guess Percy was staggering out of his corner.
Ugh, I hate that.
No.
The ostrich reportedly fell to his knees and passed out headfirst into the spaghetti.
Oh my god.
And the referee declared Bodhi the undisputed eating champion of the world.
Like human champion.
Congrats, nerd.
So problematic.
But
I don't like it.
But I think Percy survived because
I mean, it sure say he survived, but like with some gastronomical distress.
I mean
you're not supposed to pass out from eating.
Well,
I feel so bad. I know this is just like a quirky story.
It is a quirky story, but yeah, it's pretty fucked. Like,
it's pretty fucked.
Because the ostrich just wouldn't stop eating until there was no food or its body like collapsed,
right.
And so that's what happened.
Failed him. Yeah.
Right. Well.
Good story. That's my story. Eating contest between a man and an ostrich.
Not to mention the pocket watch.
The story you read
it's not really
confirm.
Like, okay.
What?
Sabrina makes a good point. They're saying this guy is the undisputed champion of the world because he ate 11 plates of spaghetti. But the bird ate 10 plates of spaghetti and a pocket watch.
Yeah.
Like in my.
Like, I'd like to see that dude eat a pocket watch.
Yeah, that dude is never going to eat a pocket
watch. Where's hiccups? Like thinking about it.
That dude's never going to eat a pocket watch.
No, right? That dude sucks.
I think Percy's the real winner.
Me too.
The real champion.
Me too.
And all the people involved should be executed for animal cruelty.
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
And their death should be death by eating so much pasta that they. Pass out.
That sounds like something from the movie Seven.
Yeah.
So, good movie.
I haven't seen it. It's too violent.
Oh, yeah. You're not into that. That I do not recommend for you. It's pretty messed up. It's burned in my brain.
I know what to not watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what I don't like. Well, thanks, Brian.
Yeah. that's
kind of made me sad, but
that's kind of interesting. That's my pasta topic for the pasta themed episode that only I am doing.
So, Sabrina, you also forgot?
Yeah, I was like, I know there's some kind of theme we talked about, but fuck if I know what it is.
Great. Okay, good. I feel less bad. Great. All right. So I do have a game for us today that has nothing to do with pasta.
Perfect.
It is anti-pasta.
Ooh, it's anti-pasta.
I have a very fun game that I'm calling Two Truths and a Lie, Invention Edition. And what I mean by that is I'm going to tell y'all about some inventions. I'm going to like give you like a batch of them, like three or four. So really it could also be three truths and a lie, but that's not as catchy. And then I'm going to like say what they're called and explain them a little bit. And then you're going to tell me which invention is the lie and is not real.
Like which thing doesn't okay. really exist?
Correct.
You made them up?
I made them up. Wow. Or I Googled things that should exist and don't. I can tell you at the end which ones I made up.
All right. I like it.
Cool, do we like this? Are we into it?
I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to win.
I mean, I don't even know, but...
All right. You all keep score because I don't want to. I'm bad at keeping score.
Brian, you do it.
But I only have five rounds, so it shouldn't be that hard.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm yes. so ready.
I was born okay. ready.
Round one of Two Truths and a Lie, Invention Edition, is eating utensils.
Hands.
Okay. No. What? You don't. No. Okay. So first up, we have the blade. That's SPLAYD, is an eating utensil combining the functions of a spoon, knife, and fork. We also have, for number two, a sporf, a utensil consisting of a spoon on one end, a fork on the other, and edge tines that are sharpened or serrated. Okay. And then three, I have the splorkadle. I think I'm saying that right. It's a ladle fork spoon combo designed to simplify the serving to dining process. So it's like a ladle that's slightly more shallow than a traditional ladle. So you can also use it as like a spatula for like serving food. And then there's a spork on the other side that obviously, you know, it's a spork, which is real. It's like a fork and a spoon so you can like eat anything with it. So we've got splayed, sporf, splorkadle.
Two of these exist.
Two of these exist. One is a lie. Brian,
oh my God.
What is the lie?
The first one.
Splayed?
Yeah.
Sabrina, what is the lie?
Sporkadle.
That is correct, Sabrina. And Brian, I love that you guessed splayed because I got this whole game idea from our friend Tessa. I don't know why we started Instagram DMing about like utensils. But we did, and she told me about the splayed. And let me tell you a little more about it. It's real. The UK licensee for the manufacturing and distribution of splayeds during the 1970s was Viners of Sheffield. That means nothing to me. At that time, they were one of the biggest cutlery manufacturers in Great Britain. And I guess it's also like an Aussie thing. So
at that time. Did they,
at that time, but still exists. It's
this,
an invention.
Is the splayed the reason they went down from...
I don't know. I don't know. Hey, guys, and I made up splorkadle. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
The splorkadle?
Yeah. I was like, no one needs a ladle and a knife.
I do.
At the same time.
But what about a spatula? Was that like a cool... I added that in last minute. It's like a shallow ladle. I don't know. Just trying to throw you off. And it worked, Brian.
Seemed believable to me.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad. All right. Round two. We've got baby products. We've got four here. Three are lies. One is real. Nope. Other way around. Three are real. One is a lie. I'm sorry. Okay, are you guys ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. First up, we have the baby stroller scooter hybrid. It's a baby stroller with a platform attached on the back for riding. Two, we've got the baby mop. It's a onesie with mop pieces attached to help crawling babies clean and polish floors. Three, we have... Sorry, I'm just laughing. Three, I'm not trying to give it away. We have the urban window baby cage. It was made in the 1930s, and it's supposed to give infants plenty of fresh air. What it literally is like this cage that hangs out of like a window of a building, like for apartment buildings. And it's supposed to help boost babies' immune systems and help them stay healthy by like giving them more fresh air. And then fourth, we have baby tank. It's an infant sensory deprivation tank designed to give babies restricted environmental stimulation therapy or RESTH. Sabrina, what is the lie?
Baby tank.
Brian, what is the lie?
Baby mop.
Oh. Oh, God, these are all so stupid. Sabrina, that is correct. Baby tank is a total lie.
Yes. Okay, great. I was like, that's not what they tell you to do with babies.
No, they don't.
Also, I've seen the baby mop.
Yeah, the baby mop is so, like, kind of cute, but, like, weird. And so baby mop is obviously kind of dumb, though, because parents are like, ew, but you're letting your baby, like, I mean, babies already crawl on the floor near the germs of, like, your feet and your shoes, but, like, still, yeah. I think it's crazy. Why did y'all not say urban window baby cage? I think bizarre.
I might have seen a picture of that one,
Well,
too.
You put so much detail on it.
It's like one of those air conditioners that you stick in your window. But I think that the stroller with a scooter is insane.
Because it's like dangerous.
Yeah, like is it like the scooter, like the kind that Will has, like the kind that's like the kind that you like hit your ankle with?
A razor scooter.
You know what I'm talking about? Like a razor scooter.
I actually don't remember if it's got like 2 feet things, but I think it has 2 feet things, not a solid one. You wouldn't be on it like side saddle. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think it's like you're still straight on.
I could picture that.
It just seems so bad.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because like people get hit with cars on scooters and stuff. But I guess that's because, it'd still be like weird, like low visibility for drivers. So let me read about the urban window baby cage because this one was like bizarre to me. Dubbed by Time as one of the 50 worst inventions, the urban window baby cage was used in the 1930s to give infants plenty of fresh air, blah, blah, blah. However, the health benefits may have been nullified by the obvious risk of dangling a baby several stories above a city street.
Yeah.
Like, did babies fall to their deaths? Like, what's this?
It did not say on this article I was reading, so I'm guessing no. But maybe.
Like, in their defense, where's the evidence?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next we have round three, and I call it looking good. And it just has to do with like, they're kind of related objects, but it's all around like personal hygiene and fashion.
Okay.
There are three inventions. Number one. Oh, and one is a lie, two are real. Okay, number one, the mass shaving machine. It's just like what it says. It allowed barbers to shave a dozen men simultaneously. Number two, the circle shaver was invented in the 1940s, and it was a series of shaving razors formed in a circle that made shaving one's legs and arms achievable in a singular, albeit slow, single swipe. And then spring shoes. It was springs tucked in the heels of these shoes that absorbed shock and was supposed to ease foot pain. So mass shaving machine, circle shaver, spring shoes. Brian, what is the lie?
I'm going to go with the mass shaving machine.
Sabrina, what is the lie?
I was going to pick mass shaving machine.
You would think, but mass shaving machine is real. It's no longer a thing, I don't think, because that'd be crazy, but it says it hit barbershops in the 19th century. And it was a thing, which is totally weird. The picture is wild. Just a bunch of dudes lined up with shaving cream. Seems dangerous, and like, I don't know how it works, because like, they're all going to be different heights, right?
Seems like they would all die.
Yes. Just like, slice the jugular efficiently all at once.
Yeah.
No, the lie is actually the circle shaver. I made it up. I always thought it would be a good idea because I hate shaving my legs, but also I'm sure I would cut myself.
Yeah. I mean, that one seemed like definitely something. I mean, that seemed to me like something someone would have tried at some point.
But maybe they did.
Kind of obviously a dangerous idea.
But I hope not. Yeah, totally dangerous. But it is not real. I said that it was invented in Boston in the 1940s, but I didn't add that in because I feel like you're getting too good at guessing if I give you too many details.
I haven't gotten any right. What do you mean I'm getting too good at guessing?
True. Very true.
Yeah, true, Brian.
True. Yeah.
Okay, which one should I do next? We got two rounds left.
Sabrina wins the game if I don't win this round.
Yes, probably. Sounds about right.
It's 2-0.
Round 4. Transportation.
Oh, God.
Right. We've got 3 modes of transportation. One is a lie. First up, we've got the cyclomer, a.k.a. the amphibocycle. It's an amphibious bike that was created in Paris in the 1930s, and it can go on land and water.
Okay.
Number 2, we've got the monowheel motorcycle. And it's like a large, it's like a motorcycle, but it's got a large single wheel that is like super big and it extends above the driver's head. And this was made in Italy in the 1930s.
Okay.
And third, we have the Innycycle, and it's a bicycle invention dating back to the 20s. And it's a bicycle with like a folding wheel, like in within the frame. And it can convert into a tricycle or a unicycle. Sabrina, what is the lie?
The monocycle.
The mono wheel motorcycle?
Yeah.
Brian, what is the lie?
This is a really tough one. They're all so weird. I think I will say it is the last one.
The Innycycle?
Yeah.
Brian, that is correct.
Yes.
For a tie game. I made that up. It's stupid. But I'm sure maybe someone thought of it, maybe. But like, I laughed because I was like, well, what adult wants to ride a tricycle? You know, because it's probably like an adult thing. But it's still funny.
Yeah.
Let me give you some more info.
I wouldn't mind riding a tricycle.
I mean, I guess.
It's good stability.
Just, I mean, maybe they
just like ride a bike, Brian. Ride a bike, Brian.
Brian, ride a bike.
About a tricycle, you don't have to try as hard.
True.
It's literally tricycle.
Yeah, but it's a different word, Sabrina. And you know that.
I don't have much deets on this amphibocycle, but there's like quite a few like renditions of this, like bike that goes on land and water. Looks different. But the one I read about was created in Paris in 1932. The monowheel motorcycle is crazy looking, and I recommend Googling it. It was made by this dude, M. Goventosa of Italy in 1931, and it was capable of going 93 miles per hour. That's 150
kilometers?
Kilometers per hour. For some reason, I was going to say
kilometers.
Yeah, and that was fucking me up.
That is fast.
I feel like really nobody fast. Should be going 93 miles per hour on one of those.
No one should be going that speed in anything.
I was trying to figure out how the wheel didn't like hit the guy's shoulder. I saw a bike, like a picture of someone sitting in this motorcycle thing, and I did not like it. Seemed very scary, and it looked like it would tip over really easily. So, thank you. It
sounds very dangerous.
All right, y'all, we got a tie game. So this is the tiebreaker.
We actually don't have a tie game.
Oh, we don't?
We could.
Sabrina has 2, I have 1.
Oh, okay, Brian, you got to do this.
I got to.
Okay. This is round five, final ride. There are four inventions. Three are real, one is a lie. This is another, like, round that doesn't really make sense, so I'm calling it fun, vices, and devices.
Okay. Nice.
Invention one. Siamese dancing shoes. They're dancing shoes, like, you know, a set, but there's two sets, and they're, like, stuck together at the toes, and they're designed specifically for ballroom dancing. And it's supposed to be that you stay in sync on the dance floor because your shoes are literally, you know, they stay where they stay together.
The same shoe. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, chain smoker. This is a device that allows a smoker to chain smoke and inhale from 10 cigarettes at once.
That's a few.
Invention. Yeah, it's quite a few. Holy crap. Invention three is called mix-ups, and it's edible shot glass-sized cups made of gelatin. And it's gelatin and, like, your favorite type of mixer, so, like, ginger ale, tonic, cranberry juice. And so you're supposed to, like, pour in your favorite liquor that would go with that mixer, and then you can also eat the shot glass. And then invention four is the cat mew machine, like M-E-W, cat mew machine. It's like hyphenated. So it's a better mouse trap, and it's like a big mouse trap that has like a cat head on it, and it's a mechanical cat, and it's supposed to like scare away rodents, and its eyes would light up, and it would meow 10 times every 60 seconds. Brian, what is the lie?
What was the first one?
We've got Siamese dancing shoes, chain smoker, mix-ups, and the cat mew machine.
I'm going to go with the chain smoker.
Sabrina, what is the lie?
Jello shot.
Sabrina, that is correct! Yeah, I made that up. Isn't Brian's it crazy so that the other three... Look, I can't see him. Let me see him. His body language is so defeated. Yeah, so let me tell you about these. So Siamese dancing shoes sound super dumb. They were featured... Oh no, is it a joke? It says... Okay, I think it might be real, but it's like they were made as a joke. Okay, they were featured in the spoof Better Living Catalog in 1981, potentially as a joking way to help couples stay in sync on the dance floor, whether they were mastering the foxtrot or more likely tripping to the ground. That's from this ridiculous article. Okay, the chain smoker. It was made in the mid-20th century. And, like, at the time, physicians were proponents of smoking. So it was totally not a big deal then. No surprise. And then the cat machine. I know, right? I mean, they didn't know. So this was made in Japan in 1963. And it looks really cute. It's like a little cat. It's like a black cat head. Yeah, it seems totally Japanese. Very cool. I would like put that in my apartment as a weird piece of decor.
It seems overkill. 10 times every 60 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be very annoying. But like cute. But I guess better than having mice, right?
But like cute.
But like cute. Yeah. And yeah, mix-ups, like totally, that's not like a brand name of anything. And I think you can make these sort of things obviously yourself, but I did some Googling and couldn't find a brand that sold these. So I think people sell like frozen ones, but that's why I put in the gelatin thing so that you guys couldn't prove me wrong. And Sabrina's the winner, and that concludes Two Truths and a Lie.
Sabrina crushed me.
Edition. Yeah.
She did. Good Sabrina, job, Sabrina.
Bug.
She's just too smart.
She's very smart. Cool. That's all for me.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for that, Aaron. That was very fun.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Even though I got my ass handed to me on a plate of spaghetti.
Hope you had fun anyways, you know? It's what matters.
Yeah. It is what matters.
I was, when you were talking about the shoes, I was remembering that I was reading someone's Wikipedia article, and then it turned out that they were a descendant of Chang and Ing, the original Siamese twins. And I was like, what? Whoa. And now I can't reverse engineer and find out like who I was originally reading about.
Whoa. Weird. You can't Google it?
I tried, and then for some reason it was really hard. Family.
Damn.
Yeah, I really got into their Wikipedia article a few months ago.
Nice. Is there a documentary on them or anything?
Oh, that's a good question. There should be.
Because I didn't know. I don't know.
Oh,
about them.
Okay. Here it is. She's a composer named Caroline Shaw.
Cool.
She does these cool vocal pieces, and I looked her up. Because Robert was playing her music. And I was like, what? She's descendant from the Siamese twins. There we go.
Can she harmonize with herself? Twin joke.
Twin joke.
That'd be tight.
Okay.
It would be tight.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that quiz, that game. I have a topic which is weirdly related to Brian's topic, but not pasta related.
Baseball related?
Ostriches.
Ostrich related.
Zoos.
So I follow the Pointifiant Zoo on Instagram. Great account.
Not the who, Aaron. The Pointifiant Zoo.
Pointifiant. Y'all are saying it like it's one word.
Pointifiant.
Well, I know, but people who aren't from here won't know what that means.
Defiance, Washington.
No, people can hear words even if they're not from a place.
Point. They're not expecting the words to come out of my mouth in that order. Point defiance.
Point.
Anyway, so they just posted a glamour shot of a tapir at the zoo, you know, with like the laser background.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, it's so funny. And apparently it's like this big hashtag. Oh my God, his nose is just
going
crazy.
He's so cute.
Yeah. And apparently it's this like huge hashtag and all these different zoos are posting these great glamour shots. And some of them have like the front and then the profile, you know, where it's kind of like semi-transparent. And like there's one that's like a clam, which is pretty funny. What is it? Oh, sorry. Texas mussels.
It's hilarious.
They're all like lasers. It's like unclear. Okay, there's not like a million, but there's like several and they're funny. I think it's just like a Photoshop thing because they all seem to be kind of that same laser background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it made me wonder about the history of glamour shots, and I was looking it up and I was reading some fun facts.
Good topic.
Yeah. So it's like an actual like trademark name, like it's the name of the store Glamour Shots.
Okay.
And it's said that the original guy was like going around in frat parties in the 60s and like taking photos and then charging for them, which is really funny to me, like because imagine like paying money for like the shitty like drunk party pics that you took of each other in college.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like all sweaty and like
yeah
there's like flash on and like and like you can't even like in the 60s it's not like you see them immediately, it's like you have to like print them.
Yeah.
Like turn them into photos.
Yeah.
So like I don't really understand the appeal. Maybe like parties were like cuter back then, you know?
There wasn't like email. And like how would you even get
You had to like write them a letter to
That's fantastic.
Money Such order. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then eventually in like 1988, which is actually later than I thought, 1988, this glamour shots like place opened and they had like a really slow start and then it just like went like bam, like exploded. And they had like a million locations in all these different malls. And they would do your makeup. I didn't realize that that was part of it, but that was like the thing was like you picked a like a style.
Yeah.
And the styles had really funny names. Sorry.
Would one be like, I'm picturing like farmhouse.
Farmhouse.
And it'd be like outfits or like hats and stuff, or is it just makeup? Is it not accessories
too? It's outfits too. So apparently, yeah, like you would just, there was mostly women that went, and basically they would make you change into like a black tube top, which is horrifying in and of itself.
Yes.
And then like you would put the outfit on like over the black tube top, and it was just like chest up. It wasn't like full body shots.
Oh yeah, just your bust.
Yeah, like shoulder, well, head and shoulders.
Bust,
yeah,
is probably just a...
Okay, I found the list. 1995 Consultants Guide listed them as 1, spontaneous. 2, can't wait to be touched. 3, tailored. 4, elegant. 5, bold. And 6, other, please describe.
Wait, can't wait to be touched.
Can't wait to
please
be
explain.
Touched. Yeah.
That is what it says.
Is it super sexy?
Well, they didn't do boudoir for a long time.
Okay.
They were like anti-boudoir.
I was imagining this would be more of like a senior photo type service, but
this is the original like iteration of it was like heavy makeup.
Yes.
And like lots, they did your hair too.
And like for adults, yes, just for
lots
fun.
Lots of hairspray. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you had to be like an adult to go, but I think it was very much like they were talking about the makeup, like specifically was like this really thick, like pancake makeup. And they were like, it works really well for these photos, but like it would like literally melt off your face if it was hot outside. Like you went outside in it.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Like they were saying that sometimes girls would like go and get like glamour shop makeup done like for cheap. Like for prom, because it was cheaper than like going to a makeup counter.
Oh no.
And like, it was, I don't know why it was frustrating for maybe they didn't pay for a pull package or something. I don't know. But they're saying it was really annoying because like there wasn't really a way to stop them from doing that. But they're like, if you go dance and get sweaty, then your makeup's look like shit.
Yeah, it's going to look like crap. And like, I wonder if, you know, because for prom you take regular pictures that aren't in like the weird studio with like the weird background and like the set lighting. You take like photos outside or photos at the prom, so I bet they just look like shite.
Well, when you first get there, I don't know, we had a backdrop. Like when you first got to prom, there was like a backdrop, and then you would like take your prom photo and then you would go in.
We just took them outside, like just outside.
I mean, we did that like at my friend's house beforehand, but then there was like a nice official like right at the front.
Ooh.
What about you, Brian?
Same. Totally. Yeah. All the same.
I think there was a funny theme, like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or something. I think there was like a column and like a drape curtain thing.
Yeah. I'll we have that it. Inside, but not outside. Ooh, we'll find swap prom photos later. Oh god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like really fun. It's like, I mean, I know that like a lot of places still do dress up. Like I know in Japan and China, you can wear like these really beautiful outfits and like get your makeup done and get like really nice portraits done. But
yeah,
I just can't really like, what does can't wait to be touched mean?
Nothing good.
Like I wonder what people like brought to the table.
Is there any good interpretation of can't wait to be touched?
Yeah, maybe it's like a velvet off the shoulder like top.
Yeah, like probably just like more sultry, really. Right.
But like, is there any interpretation of that phrase that isn't about sex?
Yeah. Oh, because elegant. I would see like maybe elegance, like the black velvet.
It's hard to say.
It's really weird. Oh,
and like maybe there's more lipstick on can't wait to be touched because like that's hotter. But like more blush on the other.
But like there's also bold and elegant. So.
Ugh. So they're also similar.
Can't wait to be touched is just, it's like a. It's just a totally different experience. They take you into like a different place if you select that option. And then it's just like full on nude boudoir. No one ever picks it because the name is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if you know.
But also they're like in a mall, you know, you're just like in a room at the mall.
Maybe it's not shot straight on and it's shot like right above you, which is like, you know, it's just like a hotter angle.
Oh, yeah. Although, chin.
Yeah.
Right. Caution, Chin.
I mean, they're pros. They would shoot you from all the hottest angles.
Yeah. And it says that they would do like photo editing that was basically like contouring.
Oh. Like, do you mean darkening? Oh, wait, no.
It was
literally
makeup.
Moving?
It was just makeup. Wait, was it makeup? Or was it photo editing? No, it was just makeup. But it was just like really like exaggerated.
Extreme. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because contour was, you said this is like 80s, right?
Yeah, like late 80s, 90s.
And which like I've totally seen. I've totally seen a ton of these photos you're talking about. And I wouldn't be surprised if it were like bigger in the Midwest, but I don't really know. But I feel like, am I wrong that like bronzer, like contour for your cheek hollows and stuff, and like contouring your nose for sure wasn't a thing. But like, the cheek contour, wasn't that like not really big in the 80s, and it was all about like blush everywhere?
Yeah, but I guess there's like, it's basically like stage makeup, right? Because it's like for these photos. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so really making like every part of your features pop, and I bet they did like the crazy jawline.
Yeah, like it looked crazy in real life.
Cool.
Hmm.
Love it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it said that people would spend like hundreds of dollars on these.
Dang, and that's in 80s money.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to go to the glamour. So there's two left, like that are glamour shots, like brand. Okay. And there's one in Texas and there's one in New Jersey.
Okay, this and makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know. And I tried to like find out what the pricing was, and I couldn't really tell. Because they were like, you know, they have a package that's like only $30, but like I think makeup is extra. And then I think it only includes like one pose or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Like with COVID, it's, you know, everything's just like call the store to find out anything about any business.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to. I mean, yeah.
Is this El Paso, Texas?
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho,
which I don't know anything about.
Me either.
Like, it's funny because it's like photography got cheaper, but like cameras are not cheap.
No.
And like makeup is not cheap.
No.
But like photo editing is cheap. So, it's like, I don't know, like, where the breakdown is, but,
totally.
Yeah, so, what was I gonna say?
They do boudoir now, of course.
Yeah, they do it now, that's what I was gonna say, is that it started getting popular with real estate agents, which makes sense. Because they put their face on fucking everything. It's, like, on their business cards. It's on their email signatures. It's everywhere. And
true.
Then it also says people started using it for, like, LinkedIn and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Modern usage. Yeah.
Hilarious. But obviously, like, things have changed, right? Like, they don't do the same makeup as they did in the 80s. That's what really makes glamour shots, like, hilarious, right?
Well, and, like, the filters and stuff, right? Everything was, like, very, like, glowy.
Yes, totally. You're right about that. And just everything's like really posed and like stiff. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure have y'all. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say there was this group of dudes, these musicians at my college that would go to like the JCPenney.
Yes.
And do. Yeah. With like the backdrops.
Yes.
So it like wasn't exactly glamour shots, but they did have like props.
Yeah. It's like the same idea.
Mm-hmm. And they would go and they would do, there are like a bunch of brass players and then like this one goofy clarinet player from Denmark. Mm-hmm. And I remember they did a photo shoot, an Easter photo shoot where they were wearing like bunny ears and stuff.
That's hilarious.
And like holding baskets.
Yeah, it's like supposed to be like for families to come and yeah, family photos, but it's just a bunch of college guys. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was like very funny.
Love it. Cute. Have y'all ever heard of awkward family photos?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Everyone has. But just making sure, you never know. But that's very funny. And that's like tons of like great glamour shots, right? I mean, not all of it's glamour shots, but
yeah,
a lot of it is.
Some of them are glamour shots and some of them are like this weird photo of me like pooping has been in my house for 3 years. And you're like, yes.
Yes. Like, why is this here? But also, yes.
Have you guys done glamour shot type photo shoots?
I did senior photos. Does that count?
I guess so. I did senior photos too. There's a company called Yen Louis in Seattle that like everyone used to go get their photos done at, and that's what I used.
Did you go to like, did you do any outdoor ones?
No, any
train tracks? Okay, same. So not as cheesy. You know, people are like, and the train tracks.
Oh, yeah.
To symbolize moving.
Yeah, I have a cousin who, he's in his senior year of high school and he lives in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And they just did his senior photos a couple months ago.
Tracker.
And he had some like covered bridge ones, which made me really, which made me really happy because that's like such an Indiana thing.
Yeah, that's cute.
Nice.
I love that. Good stuff. Senior photos.
That is good.
Yeah. There's one of my senior photos makes it look like I'm naked because I'm wearing like a wide strap tank top and then I have long hair.
Oh no.
I should send it to you guys. That's my favorite.
You should.
That is funny. That's like that. Hilarious.
Yep. Naked 18-year-old Sabrina.
17.
Oh shit. Inappropriate.
Can't wait to be touched. Just kidding. Someone had to say it, though.
Love it. All right. Anything else on glamour shots, or are we?
I think that's it for me. I guess if I had to ask a question, it would be, can you send me photos of you in a in a studio photo shoot?
Send them to us.
Yeah, send them to any of us, really. We'll share.
Yeah.
Post them on Instagram and tag each other. At While You Were Talking Pod.
Yeah.
Please do. My question for the listeners is, can you send in an invention that's ridiculous that does exist that we may not know of? Or send us an invention idea of something you thought of that doesn't exist but should?
Oh, wait, can I just really quickly, do you guys know about unnecessary inventions?
No.
Is this dude who makes like very silly things?
Oh, that sounds great. I don't know about
that. He's got an Instagram account.
I think I've seen that.
He's like this guy from Vermont. And they're all like really well made. I assume he only makes like one of them.
Yeah.
But they're like very silly. And he does great photos of them.
Wow. Following now.
Check him out. My question would be, my question would be, what animal could you beat in an eating contest, and what would you be eating in that contest that you would win?
What are you the best at eating?
I think I could beat a mouse at eating cheese.
I think I could beat any animal at eating Dippin' Dots.
Any animal?
I can't think of one.
Like an elephant?
Dippin' Dots? Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, I can't believe I just said Dipping Dots like a cop or something.
Dipping like dots. Hello, fellow youths. You got some dipping dots there?
Oh my god, that got me. Dipping
really embarrassing.
On that note, Aaron, do you want to dip us out of here?
I'm a dipping us out of here. What were you thinking about while we were talking? Let us know by sending us an email to whileyouweretalkingpod@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @whileyouweretalkingpod or send us a voice message on Anchor FM. It's on our profile. You can follow the link in the episode description. As always, thank you to Rob Henson for our theme musics, and thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Later. And now, over to Brian for today's hot take.
Nobody wants to see your vaccine selfie. Look, Aaron's coming out of the closet.
Yeah. Finally. We were all expecting it.
I wasn't.